I got a question for you. That I did my homework and went to JethroTull.com. But there was one thing that I found that kind of interesting on your diary that you wrote about back in August, about a tabloid in Britain, News of the World, I believe. And they were what they called upon you in your house. Where, what was going on there? They had a question for you.
Yeah, I was on my way back from from Scotland, visiting my brother who's sick at the moment. And when I got back, my wife greeted me with the news that they'd had a strange visitation from a couple of journalists from Britain's most notorious tabloid newspaper, and they were looking for some kind of a story.
A page three girl? They wanted you for page three?
No, they were looking for page five, actually. It was page five is the one for transsexuals and people who are about to come out of the closet being terribly weird and about to have surgery. So anyway, that's what they thought. They got hold of this rumor that I was about to undertake a full sexual transformation and turn into a real man. No. they had the story that I was going to have the whole thing, the whole bit, you know, and turn into a woman. And it was really strange. I just didn't give it too much thought. I thought they were just a bit nutty. But they'd been hanging around our village for a couple of days, and I confronted them the next morning because they were still in a parked car, photographer and journalist, and said, what is it? And they said, well, you know, we have this strong story, you know, rumor, not just rumor, you know, but a fact that we're going to do this. And I said, look me in the eye, you know, just, you know, I'm going to make one hell of an ugly woman if this is true. And of course, it wasn't, but they asked me to deny the rumors that I was gay and, you know, going to become a transsexual, whatever. And I got a little upset by that. I said, well, why should I have to deny this? There's nothing, if I did want to do it, it's not something I should feel ashamed of or whatever. So on behalf of cross-dressers and transsexuals everywhere, I refuse to give you the pleasure of a denial. And far from printing it, no. Far from printing it, you know, that obviously called their bluff, and they were perfectly prepared to believe that it wasn't me. I subsequently find out they had confused me with somebody else.
Oh, really?
I know, but until that person decides they want to tell the world about it, I won't mention any names. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was fun, and, you know, the damn thing was I didn't have a new record out at the time, you know, to get the benefit of this publicity, or to take advantage of the summer sales, you know, because I could have got a nice little print dress number or whatever.
Were they talking about Cher?
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 Cher. Cher. You mean the girl Cher?
Yeah.
You mean you think I would look like her if I had...
No, I'm talking about maybe it was her that was going to get the operation.
Oh.
But this is what we found interesting when we've talked to you, when we've talked to you in the past on 94.5 XKR, is that the extreme balance of humor between one side of the Atlantic and the other is just always humorous in itself.
Well, it is, and you've got to be careful because a lot of things that we laugh at in the UK just don't work over here. I mean, when Monty Python and the Flying Circus put their movie out a long time ago called Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which I amongst others, actually helped to fund. You know, a bunch of us in the music business put up the money to make that movie because the conventional industry wouldn't do it. And I saw it for the first time in New York City in a kind of artsy theater. Monty Python were just about beginning to make it over here. And we sat in this theater with the rest of the band and I, and it was about a quarter full. And in all the various bits that we were hooting with laughter at, the rest of the audience were just ominously silent. And then suddenly, at something that was completely unfunny, they would all start laughing. You know, we thought, this is such a culture gap. You know, it's never going to make it over here. But surely and steadily, over a period of years, Monty Python coined it, you know, they started making money, and I got my money back, and so did
Excellent. Brilliant.
Well, real soon we're going to invite some of the listeners from 94.5 that won a contest last week to come on and converse with Ian, and I know some of the questions are going to be about Thick as a Brick, and I think we have that coming up here real soon.
That's right, yeah, we're going to do a little snippet of Britney's infamous 1972 concept album written by a 12-year-old boy called Gerald Bostock, if you believe that. Sort of.
Right.
Really don't mind if you sit this one out.
my words, but a whisper of devastation. I may make you feel, but accounts make you think. Your sperms and the guts are your loves in the sink. So you ride yourselves over the fields, and you make all your animal deals, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick. Are all swept away in the tidal destruction for moral belay. The elastic retreat rings a close of fate as the last wave uncovers the newfangled way. But if you choose war to the heels, and your sons can rapidly heal, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick. I'm a bad dream, but I just ain't.